Lord, we start by praying. Lord, we're so glad we're together, and we ask that you will speak to us this morning and help us to draw very near to you. We ask for your encouragement and your strength from today. And Father, we ask that you will speak to us clearly. Amen. Well, now, I've just after that last sermon that I did in there, I just want to make a comment. I don't work through my sermons like a logical thing. It's not that. Think of it maybe more like a painting, and I put some blue down and then some other colours, and then something comes out at the end. And it was sort of tied together like that. It's more like that. That's one thing. And the second thing is the passages are so rich. There's so much in them. There's more than I will talk about today. And I hope it will take you into them and that you'll get more blessing from them later. It's quite a different sermon from them, so you don't have to sit through the same thing twice. He'll be very grateful. You see this T-shirt I'm wearing, Jesus Is. It's a funny thing. I was in an emergency situation on a camp, and the guy took it as though it was my name tag as a joke. Jesus, go and grab that rope. Jesus, he kept doing it. A kid said to me, "Oh, Jesus is a person." No, Jesus was a person. Oh, he died, didn't he? And another person said to me, "Jesus is just a bloke. Just a bloke." The thing I've been thinking about, Jesus is good. He's just good. And yet you looking at me wearing this T-shirt, I know what you're probably thinking. He's wearing the T-shirt so he doesn't have to wear a tie. Because you're so cynical, aren't you? We're all cynical. And we've got good reason to be cynical, don't we? We've met politicians. No, that's cynical just right there. But we're cynical about the church. We've seen the mistakes that they've made over time. We expect that they could have done better sometimes. I'm not talking about here, but I'm just... We could have, as a church, done better, and we failed people. Marriages. They've fallen down. They've hurt our kids. Even the ones that stay together can sometimes hurt each other and hurt our kids, and we get so cynical about it. And we get cynical about God, too, if we're honest. We get cynical. But I'd just like to encourage you and say, there's no need to be cynical about God. You see, the rest of us, when we don't live up to things, it's because we need something. We need that little bit more power, that little bit more money, that little bit more stuff. But this is God's universe. He has every single thing he needs. If he wants it, he gets it. And so he just does what he says because he does what he wants. And he wants to love us. And so he's just good. God is good. And Jesus is good. And I just want to, as we look at Good Friday, I just want you to stop and remember that. He is so good. Now, I'm looking at sort of bits of all three. And I would love us to start at 2 Corinthians 5. And I want us to look at that verse 4, saying that when we're in this tent, when we're here on this earth and in this body, we groan and we're burdened and life's hard. And that was what this video was about, wasn't it? Life's just so hard. And I think he explains so beautifully how God can take those hard things and use them. I want us to... Mine is slightly different because I'm just an ESV person. I don't know why I got them to do it in NIV. For while we're in this tent, we groan, being burdened. not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That's God's goal, that we'll get swallowed up by life and richness. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. Now, I think yours says it slightly differently. He has fashioned us for this very thing, is God. He's fashioned it. He's prepared it. This is a plan that God has had from the start. Isaiah 53 was hundreds of years before Jesus. And he said exactly what was going to happen. He was sent, Jesus was sent. And all this happened so that he could bear our griefs and our sorrows and so on. Do you remember there was that story when Gabriel came to Joseph and he said, you should call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Always his goal. And I want you to think about the fact that it didn't just happen. God made this day happen. He's the one who delivered Jesus up to Judas to be betrayed. He's the one who had all Jesus' friends leave. Who handed him on to the Jews, who handed him on to Pilate, who put him on the cross to die. God could have stopped it. The Father could have. You remember in Gethsemane? This is what Jesus cried out. Listen to what he said. Daddy, Father, if there's any other way, don't do this to me. Imagine that's your perfect son. He did it again, Daddy. If there's another way. But Jesus had prepared this for us. You can see here, so that we could be swallowed up by life. I'd love you to know that Jesus did so much more than forgive us our sins on the cross. He forgave them, praise the Lord, he did. But so much more. He is more than a forgiver. I want you to notice Gabriel didn't come. He didn't come to Joseph and say, you should call him Bobby because he will forgive the people for their sins. He will forgive you. Time and time again, he will forgive you. You stuff up, he'll forgive you. You stuff up again, he'll forgive you again. And as many times as you do it, he will forgive you. But he is more than a forgiver of sins. He saves us from our sin, from all of sin. He gives us the grace, you can see it at the end here, to do good, to give us that goal to please him. We can call out to him and he can transform us. And we've got this problem when we think of sin, it actually makes us think less of what Jesus did. We often think of sin as the right and wrong we do, don't we, against God. God's got this standard and we don't meet it. But sin's so much more than that. You know, sin is an archery term. When you, I've got a target over there and I aim and I hit right in the bullseye, that little red dot, that's the mark we're aiming for. Anything other than that is missing the mark. That's the Jewish word sin. Everything that God has for you that you don't have is sin. And that is moral. He has moral perfection. He wants you to be loving in all you do. And Jesus came to pay the price for sin. We saw that beautifully in Isaiah 53, so beautifully. But the pain that you suffer in your life, it's sin. The suffering that you go through, that sin. That little handicapped kid, that's not what God has for a child. That's missing the mark of God's pleasure. It's not that there's something done wrong. It's just not what God had for that kid, and it's sin. And Jesus on the cross bore that sin in his body. He became sin. He dealt with the consequences of moral evil, and he took all the pain into himself. Whatever you suffer, he suffered with you. Let me say, whatever sin that you've done, as in the wrong you've done and the evil it's caused someone else, he paid that price and he felt that pain. He deals with both the victim and the perpetrator. He paid the price for everything on his body on the tree. Do you notice back in Isaiah 53? He's borne our grief and our sadness and our sorrows. In verse 5, yes, he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. But do you notice at the end of verse 5, that chastisement brought us peace. The lack of peace in your life, he paid for that too. He wants more for you than just having your sin forgiven. He wants you to have peace in your life. In fact, he died for it. In verse 12, right near the end, there's this beautiful thing. It says about Jesus that he will divide the spoil with the strong. On a cross, he took your weakness and he died so that you could be strong. God's got this plan. Everything that Jesus went through was more than just to make you guilt-free. It was to make you good. It was to give you life. All your death, all your sin, he took it and he gave you his life. In, you know that's true, don't you? Here's a question. Why do you have a burden of guilt? Why, if you do? Hope you don't. You don't need to. You're supposed to give that burden to him. Or why do you think that God's not on your side? Whatever pain, he's feeling it with you. You know when Jesus died and he went to heaven? Do you think he sat up there and he started the party? And you can come and join him one day? Look what it says at the end of Isaiah 53. He makes intercession. This is into the future for the transgressors. And that's where it says he intercedes for us. Jesus is up in heaven interceding and praying for you and for people who rebel against him. Jesus is more than just a forgiver. He's a saviour. He doesn't want to just forgive you for your sin. He wants you to save you from your sin and the pain that it can cause you as well. Going to finish off with those words of Jesus and then a last sort of finishing comment, and then we'll pray together. But I want you to hear those words of Jesus. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? At Christmas, something incredible happened. Infinite God became finite humanity. That's amazing. at Easter, something different and impossible happened. The God who is light became darkness. He became sin. And he was forsaken by God, not because God failed, but because God prepared him to take sin into himself. And so 2 Corinthians says this, verse 6. So we're always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in this body, we're away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We're of good courage. We'd rather be away from the body, we'd rather be with the Lord. But whether we're at home or whether we're away, we make it our aim to please him, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive, and this is talking to Christians, what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. Just want to say this, Jesus is good. But he died to make you good. Not just morally good, he died to make you morally good, but good, through and through, swallowed up by life. It's what he has for us. And so today really is a Good Friday, and I hope you enjoy a wonderful time of getting to know your Saviour better. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful truth. Thank you that the cross just has layer upon layer upon layer. Father, we thank you that Jesus knows us through and through. He's with us through and through. He feels our pain and our joy, and he gives us life, and he's in heaven, he's praying for us. And Lord, we do pray that you'll both give us courage and give us the grace to live lives that please you. Father, I just ask that if there's anyone here, people here who have burden of guilt or pain, I pray that you'll help them to enjoy and live in the freedom of Christ. Amen.